Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Tiffany with Women of Redneck and Eyes on the Redneck and Eyes Unplugged Network. I'm coming to you live from East Liverpool, Ohio. And right now, you guys will not believe this, it is January 4th of 2023. And it is 56 degrees here in Ohio, which we've had some winters like this where it was real nice and cool and, you know, or then we had ones that was warm. So last week, we actually broke the record for our area for the temperatures. So, but you know, tomorrow is going to be a high of 44 and then the bottom is going to drop out and we're going to get snow. So it's always, you know, a bag of tricks around here, shake it and see what falls out. So it is 7:01 Eastern again here in Ohio. I am actually babysitting the grandson and he's been a little bit crabby today. So I'm not sure exactly what the deal was with that. I'm thinking he may have a little bit of a bellyache because, you know, babies, you just never know what's going on with them. So, okay. So tonight, you know, as always, it's, you know, a free-for-all for us here because we just talk about anything and everything that pops up and whatever, you know, you guys want to chat about. So tonight, I just want to hear from you. And I know, you know, most of the time, talking to ourselves, but hey. Nothing wrong with that. I thought about going live tonight on Facebook, but with the way Facebook can be sometimes, and like I said, with the grandbaby here and him being a little fussy, I have Nickelodeon on right now. Like, he is 4 months, so got to give him a little bit. He can be good most of the time and a little fussy others. So, okay. I am actually going to post on Facebook right now that we are live. And then I got a couple things I want to talk to you guys about that I did find out today that I found on, you know, on Facebook. Okay. Sorry, I was getting messages at the same time. Let's see. Oh. So, yeah, I'm trying to do a little bit of different things because I had my thing scheduled. I figured, okay, I'm good to go. I'll be able to pop on, get this ready to go, and do a little bit of networking on it prior to getting it up and running. But the grandson had a blowout. And if you guys have babies or been around them, when I say blowout, it was clear up the back. So it was a quick washdown job and everything else. And of course, it all had to happen about a quarter after 6:30. Oh, Eastern time. So it was, you know, trying to get that cleaned up before I had to go live here. So just bear with me. Let me see. Oh, let's see, I'm trying to do the phone number here, so just, you know, like I said, just bear with me a minute, because this is stuff I wouldn't have done prior, but. Oh, let's see. Oh, I'll tell you what. Okay. All right. Now we're ready to go with that, and I'm posting it. Okay. Now, don't you hate it when it asks you other questions that you don't want to answer? Because why did you have to have all these other questions? I posted what I wanted. That's what I want. So just leave it at that and go on. But hey, We all have those. Okay, so let me get back to the station here. Okay. All right, now I'm going to, I found some things I got emails on from like, wrong email. I have four, so it takes a minute to remember where I found the stuff. Okay. All right. Let me see. Oh, my computer does not want to cooperate with me. Okay, so on Overdrive magazine, there was a couple different articles on there that I've seen, because like I said, we usually talk about from CDL Life right off of Facebook. But I found, I kind of like Overdrive because we've actually had them report on us, Courteous of Long Haul Paul Mulhofer, okay? Right. So I wanted to bring them up and talk to them, or not talk to them, but, you know, read some of the things that they have posted. Okay. Let's see. One of the things I want to see, where was it here? All right. We all hate how they want to change the regulations for everybody and, you know, and they don't feel that it's... Don't feel that it's okay for them to do it for some, but not for all. I just want to read an article and it wants to be all kinds of crazy with me tonight. I don't know why it wants to do this to me. It just, you know. Okay.
Just always remember, when everything goes wrong and the job still got to get done, you got to redneckinize.
All right. So I just want to put that on there for just a minute, only for the fact that I was trying to get it signed up, because I get emails for Overdrive, so I don't know why it's telling me it wants all kinds of other stuff. It just, I don't know. Just do what I want you to do and just quit arguing with me, right? That's all we want. Okay. So let me see if I can go in here. And then, of course, I got crazy cats. Okay. So it is the FSCSA grants firework companies hours of service and ELD exemptions. So we've talked about them doing this with, you know, the different tragedies and stuff like that. So now they want to do it with, let me see. Okay. They want to do it with fireworks. It's like, seriously, why? Why do they have to do it with fireworks? Is there something just because 4th of July? Come on. Seriously, people, get with it. I'd say it, what it states is the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration has granted hours of service exemptions to 32 of the 45 member companies of the American Pyrotechnics Association in connection to 4th of July celebrations. Okay, the notice gives the 32 member companies relief from the 14-hour rule that electronic logging device made during designated Independence Day period. The exemption will be in effect from June 28th through July 8th in 2023 and 2024. Why does it have to go through until July 8th? I thought July 4th, isn't that when, you know, 4th of July is? So why do we have to hold it over till then? That's what I don't understand. Okay, the exemption allows drivers to exclude off-duty and sleeper berth time with any length from the calculation of the 14-hour limit, effectively opening up maximum. Further, the exemption also allows the drivers to use paper records of duty status in lieu of the ELDs. And the FMCSA wrote in its notice in the Federal Registry of my nose digits, sorry. Okay, similar exemptions for many firework callers have been in place since 2005. This one follows the FMCSA's denial of owner-operator Lee Schmidt's exemption, and Greg and I have met Lee Schmidt, exemption request that, had it been granted, would have resulted in his operation being exempt from most all of the hours rules. I don't know what his actually thing was wrote up. I'm going to have to look into that because they did post it at one point, him and Lisa. So I will have to look into it or see if I can get them to come on one night because they do have a radio show of their own, I believe, or Trucking with the Schmidts. So I'm not sure if they're still doing that or not. But for the daily 11-hour limit driving, another approach to greater operating flexibility than is achievable under current rules. In its decision to disallow the fireworks exemption of 13 companies, the FMCSA said it found 12 companies have vehicle and or hazmat out-of-service rates higher than the national average as of August 9th of 2022. The 13th member company was excluded because the company does not have a hazardous material safety permit. Okay. So, what is your thoughts on that? So now, you know, we were talking about for the fuel and propane and stuff like that, they were giving the exemptions for drivers then. We were talking about that was just a major bomb. But it's the same aspect with the fireworks. You know, yes, they might look pretty, but they are very, very dangerous. So that kind of threw me for a loop when I first seen that. I was like, what? So now it's okay for them not to have to adhere to the rules? Start shipping your crap earlier, right? So why do you have to wait until the 28th of June to try shipping everything? Ship it earlier. Because most of these fireworks places are open seasonal. They're open all, or not seasonal, but, you know, yearly. So they're never closed. So there's no reason why you can't get that at any time. Okay. Seriously? I just love myself out of the crap that I was just looking at. That's how it works. That's how I do it. Okay. Oh, really? See, now it's asking me to do all this stuff again. No, just give me what I want and let me do what I want. Okay. Let me get back to it. Okay. Ways to prepare for the... No, that's not what I wanted. Okay, here it is. This one was just posted today about the FMCSA proposing new broker... freight forwarder financial responsibility regs. So some of us deal with brokers and some of us don't. Greg and Donnie both were dealing with a lot of brokerage freight when they were doing the dry van. And I know Robbie deals with a lot of brokerage freight when he's looking for specialty items for his RGN. So we know how, and we've talked about it before, how bad all these stinking brokers are. Because we know they're taking our money. Whether we want to believe it, you know, there is no believing part of it. It's a fact. They're taking way more than what they actually deserve or what they need. Yes, they might be sweet talking and getting a better deal, you know, and they say, well, we can do it for this, this, and this. But you know what? Can they really? Because they're not the one that's doing the work. It's you, the drivers, that's actually doing the work. So... why do they think they need the extra money? Okay, and with this one, like I said, they're proposing new broker freight forwarder financial responsibility regs. Okay, the Motor Carrier Safety Administration on Thursday will publish a proposal for the implementation of several congressional required regulations for brokers and freight forwarders that will help protect motor carriers in the event of non-payment, including the immediate suspension of the broker's authority. Now, we've talked before, like I said, about the brokers, but now there is a lot of stuff coming out that these brokers are taking these shippers and consignees pays or, you know, money for these loads and actually not even shipping them, not even putting them on the board to get them sold. They're already taking the money. It's like, well, you pay us and we'll pay them. So it's never a good thing, right? Okay, in a notice of proposed rulemaking set for publication Thursday, the FMCSA is proposing to implement regulations in five separate areas related to brokers' financial responsibility. Assessed assets readily available, immediate suspension of broker freight forwarder operations authority, security or trust responsibilities in case of broker freight forwarder financial failure or insolvency, enforcement authority, and entities eligible to provide trust funds for Form BMC-85, which is a trust fund filings, okay? And an advance notice of proposed rulemaking seeking industry feedback. On a potential proposal was published in 2018, the regulations are requirements under the Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century Act, MAP 21, transportation bill signed into law in 2012, the Transportation Intermediaries Association, American Trucking Association, and the Owner Operators Independent Drivers Association, and the ANPRM, each voiced their general support for FMCSA's plan to implement a rulemaking on broker freight forwarder financial responsibilities. So they've been working on this stuff, and they still haven't got it fixed, nor will they ever get it fixed, because it's one of those things that just will never happen. It will always be, you know, they can get a good grip on it, but I don't see them getting a grip on it enough to actually stop what these brokers are doing. Okay, the FMCSA will accept comments on its new NPRM for 60 days beginning Thursday. So here is your chance. Go out and send an email for all of you that actually are taking broker freight. Even if you don't take it now, send your thoughts on it. What better way to get your voices heard? Yeah, they may not answer or listen to them or read them or whatever you want to say. They may never do it. But if they're asking for it, what better reason to give it to them? Okay, comments can be filed at www.regulations.gov by searching docket number FMCSA 2016-0102. A direct link to the comments page will be added to this post when it's available. So I'm going to put, you know, I'm going to try sharing this post to our Facebook page, but I'm also going to put it on my personal page because I want all my driving friends to see it too. Some of them don't follow us on Redneck, and for what reason, I don't know. But I'm going to get this posted and put out there for a bunch of different places. Okay, the agency said its proposal would result in benefits to major carriers, adding that if it is aware that some brokers choose to withhold payment to carriers for services rendered. In the event of non-payment, carriers can file against a broker's bond to attempt to receive payment. If, however, claims against an individual broker exceed $75,000, the financial responsibility provider will often submit the claims to a court in an interpleader action to determine how to allocate the broker bond or trust fund. Okay, and it goes on and on and on, you know, about that act. It's, you know, yeah. So it breaks it down and tells you how they figure out how to pay these people off. Not pay them off, but get you guys your money if a broker screws you, okay? And it talks about, goes into more about the immediate suspension of the broker freight forwarder operating authority. So if the financial security falls below $75,000 when there is a drawdown on the broker or freight forwarder security bond or trust, that would happen when a broker or freight forwarder consents to a drawdown, or if the broker or freight forwarder does not respond to a valid notice of claim from the security or trust provider, causing the provider to pay the claim, or if the claim against the broker or freight forwarder is converted to a judgment, and then the security of trust provider pays the claim. The FMCSA also proposes that if a broker or freight forwarder does not replenish funds within 7 business days after the notice by the FMCSA, the agency will issue a notification of suspension of the operator's authority to the broker or freight forwarder. Okay, so they do have some enforcement set to take care of some of these issues, but does everybody report on this? Does everybody let them know what's going on? Okay. One of the comments on this ad, because we know we can always add comments to a lot of these articles, it says, what about transparencies? These brokers are keeping most of the money due carriers, and also detention. It's like pulling teeth to get paid. Okay. Which we've seen. We know with detention, they say 30 days or whatever the case may be about it. So it does sometimes take a little bit to get it. Then there's some companies that immediately pay it. Okay, we have a caller here. So let's see what his thoughts are on this broker retention. All right, caller, you're live.
First of all, we know from our side what we've got into with the brokers. We dealt with them plenty of times.
Right.
If we want to start naming names, we'll go to C.H. Robinson. We'll start there since they're one of my favorite brokers.
Not.
C.H. Robinson already, if people go back and do some research, they'll find out that the farmers not too many years ago took C.H. Robinson to court and beat them up because they was basically doing the same thing.
Right.
They won. Farmers won. It cost C.H. Robinson a pile of money, to my understanding. C.H. Robinson straightened their act up for a little while, and now they're back to the same old game again. You know, they go right back to doing the same thing. They don't learn nothing. They just play by the rules for a little bit, until the heat gets off of them and everybody quits paying attention to them again over that. They get out of the off the front page, so to speak, and then they say, okay, well, let's get right back to what they was doing. Look at the deal we got into with Landstar over that load.
Right.
All right, Landstar is a broker. Every big company out here is just about, more times than not, they are, as well as companies, they're brokers too. Everybody wants to be a freight broker. There's got to be a reason that all these companies want to have a brokerage and logistics and everything. Why would that be? Because it's too easy to skim money off of their own drivers as well as other drivers or other companies that haul their freight. That's why they do it, to increase their bottom line. They're not doing it out of goodness of their heart to try to help you make money. They're doing it to make them money. TQL Logistics is another one right down there in Cincinnati, or down by Cincinnati. They're another one. You know, and you could go on. You could name them. You could name them all night. But they're just like trucking companies. Everywhere you look now, there's Joe Blow Trucking, this trucking, that trucking. Everybody's got a trucking company now. Everybody's got a DOT number now. And now they're up into the 7 digits on their numbers, DOT numbers. All right. That company runs, they might have one truck. They might have a half a dozen trucks. All right. Whatever. So they operate shady. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, they go out there. They don't play by the rules. They break every law in the books. And then when they get caught, FMCSA comes in there and sends them a cease and desist letter and shuts them down. So what do? They've got another company. It's one of their sister companies. They move it, and it just happened not too long ago. I forget what the company was. They shut them down, started operating under their sister company's DOT number. Well, they shut them down too. But it don't matter because they shut them down today. They just open back up under another number and start again tomorrow. There's no oversight on it. The government has no oversight on them, but they regulate us to death. But a lot of them, the brokers and stuff, now take 87, what they want to hire, 87,000 more IRS agents. I got an idea. Instead of 87,000 more IRS agents, if you want to hire them, fine. Turn them loose on these brokers, these freight brokers, and these companies out here, and make sure they're on the up and up before you start messing with the little guy. Start with them and see how many of them are playing by the rules. They're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're right. Skimming money. We've done caught. How many of them brokers did we catch? You and I, Donnie, how many of them did we catch taking? I ain't saying half the money, but real damn close to half of the money they was keeping and giving you the rest. Now, why? We'll use $4,000 for an example. All right, why in the hell should they get almost $2,000 for a load they never put hands on? They move it across the computer. They take it. Yes, they got bills to pay in their office, and they got employees, whatever. Yes, so what? Now, if they get, a $2,000 here, or say $1,500 off this load, and $1,200 off this load, how much money, how many loads do they move in a day? How much profit, revenue is that in a day's time for that particular broker? How many employees do they have? A lot of these brokers, you call them, you're talking to somebody overseas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Landstar's got them. They got people working overseas that's brokering freight for them or dispatching loads for them that's not even here in the States. And they're not the only one. C.H. Robinson does too. That's why. They're worldwide. C.H. Robinson worldwide. Well, when you got that worldwide behind it, that means you've got offices all over the world. They're one of the biggest shipping containers, the companies in the world, if not the biggest. C.H. Robinson's been around for years, and they're as crooked now as they was the day they started. So, if people want to keep using them, they use them, but then they want to complain because, the broker's beating me out of money. Well, then, who's to blame there, them or you? I mean, yeah, I blame them for doing it, not being honest and doing it, but I blame the company or the driver to start with. It's okay to get screwed one time by them, but if you get it, you continue to go back and do it over and over and over again, you deserve what you get. You should. They should take all your money. If you're stupid enough to keep hauling loads for them, you should lose it all. But until the government or I'm a firm believer, we don't need more government trucking. But if they're going to put them there, at least do some good. Because they're already knee-deep into us now. And they want to put all these rules and regulations on us as drivers. But, when it comes to the companies, per se, and all this nonsense that's going on, they just turn their head to it.
Right.
Why? Because they're big contributors to their campaigns and shit. So that being said, I'll listen to what else you got to read.
I don't know. You got me on a block now. I don't know what to say. Okay. Anyways. Let me get back to here. All right, I'm going to mute you, Fit. Okay. All right, now I lost it. Oh. All right. Okay, so the next one I found, and we've, you know, we all know Long Haul Paul. And he wrote an article, Faces of the Road, because he wrote the article on us back in 2018, just before the big pandemic hit and closed down the truck show for the 19th and 20th and the 21st, correct? Yes. Or was it the one he did for us in the night? Anyways, 18 or 19. I'd have to go back and actually look and find the article about it. But he also wrote an article for Overdrive. Faces of the Road, longtime Wreath Across America transportation director Don Queenie. Don Queenie, which he is 62 years old. He's the director of transportation for Wreath Across America. He's not your typical trucker. Clean cut, broad-shouldered, and frame-seared by decades of grueling physical labor, the former commercial fisherman and longtime household mover communicates with the soft-spoken eloquence of a corporate officer. This is, in fact, a role he has occupied throughout the long and successful career as a co-founder of the Hampton Roads Moving and Storage. But there is something else that makes him stand out. Despite being in the business of trucking since the 70s, he exudes mission. In his role as transportation director for Wreath Across America, overseeing the shipment of more than 3 million wreaths throughout the United States, Europe, and anywhere else in the world where an American soldier's remains are interred, that sense of mission has served him well. While many his age in the industry wind up jaded and bitter, Queenie stands out for his gear jammer as a source of personal inspiration. I recently had the honor to sit down with the old bed bugger and talk about his why. Here's what he had to say. My father was the kind of guy who would drive down the road on vacation, and if he saw a fellow on his front porch, he'd slow down, roll his window down and say, "Hey, how you doing, old fella?" and just keep on going. He taught me how to give back. In my last edition of the Faces of the Road series, I quoted Don Queenie speaking of his feelings with Wreath Across America is more than just a big ceremonial project. It's become a mindset, he said. It's a way of thinking about things, honoring our veterans on as grassroots a level of possible, and engaging an American public to do so. He had well more to say on that score. I just met a fairly newly minded Gold Star mother. Minted Gold Star mother, I should say. Her son was not buried in Arlington, but was buried in a location that participates in wreath-laying ceremonies. She had not heard of Wreaths Across America before, and when she went to her son's gravesite to visit him at Christmas, there was a wreath on his headstone, and she said it just was extremely fulfilling, extremely reverent to think that a stranger had taken the time to get up in the morning, come there, on top of pulling $15 out of their own pocket to sponsor that wreath. And more importantly, after she learned that what we were all about, that they had spoke his name in remembrance. You want to know what drives me? It's those types of stories and knowing that somebody is getting healed in some small way by the outpouring of regular Americans just trying to make a difference. After the first year, Wreath's founder, Morrell Worcester, laid a surplus of wreaths at Arlington, also detailed in my prior story about the Gold Star mother, Jill Williams, Worcester called home that first year and said, "We are never not doing this again," Queenie said. So the one-time jester becomes a tradition and continued in Arlington for nearly 15 years, with others joining in to help. According to the Reese website, almost immediately thousands of people wanted to know how to help. Reese Across America was then formed as an entity, as a means of managing the outpouring. With the advent of smartphones technology, and 15 years later, have come to comprise the backbone of what Radio Nemo, Jimmy Mack, described as pop-up Fortune 500 company, which functions 3 months a year. In 2008, Congress unanimously voted to establish the third Saturday of December as National Reese Across America Day. The day has a simple mission. Remember following U.S. veterans, honor those who serve, and teach your children the value of freedom. For the 2022 season, the day fell on December 17th. For the kickoff banquet held on Saturday, December 10th, Don Queenie was honored for his years of service as transportation director, a position he planned to step down from upon completion of the year's mission. On behalf of Overdrive, thanks for a job well done, Don. And I think, I mean, that whole story gave me goosebumps only for the fact of knowing, you know, they do this, they started out doing it just, you know, on their own, not having big companies in the ones to actually, you know, fund them all. It was them doing it themselves. And then just once people started hearing about it, it started getting out there and more people started contributing and more people starting to help. And now, you know, we know some drivers that actually have done that and has been part of, you know, the trucks that transported those wreaths to Arlington or some of the other big cemeteries. So some of the comments here, I'm not even reading any of those comments because they're all kind of spam comments. But so what are your thoughts about it, Greg? What do you think about the Reese Across America? I know we've talked about it before, about trying to be involved in that. I really do think it's something we may want to push for next year to try being involved, or this year to be involved in. What do you think?
Well, we tried it, but we didn't get nowhere with it. Remember, we couldn't get nobody to get back with us. And it was just like, you know, we wasn't big enough. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I mean, it really is. I like what they do. I really do. But it seems like the only ones they want doing that is your bigger, you know, your bigger, you know, major trucking companies has always got a truck in there doing it, or, you know, your big, big, big shiny trade show trucks, or you got to know somebody. It's like everything else. It just appeared to us that you have to know somebody in order to get in there. I mean, we tried. We were going to donate our outfit, our truck, and that brand new trailer. Couldn't get nobody to get back to us. So, how can you help participate in something when nobody wants to talk to you?
Right. But now, I mean, we know, just like with Paul, we know we can reach out to him and he can put us in contact with people because, you know, and there's other ones that's done it, that has volunteered their equipment and done the same exact thing. But I think it's nice to know that there is plenty of people out there that actually are more adamant about doing it. But the one statement about, you know, let me find out where did I say it? Oh. About teaching your kids the cost of freedom. I don't think that's been, remember following U.S. veterans, honor those who served, and teach your children the value of freedom. And that's what I don't think is being taught today to a lot of the youngins, is the cost of freedom, because they just think everything gets handed to them.
It does.
And I think that's a lot of the reason why there has been so many I don't want to say, you know, all the kids, you know, that don't know anything go out there and they shoot at people. I don't want to say that. But it's like they don't care just because, yes, we have people in this country that we feel that shouldn't be here, you know, that come across and don't do things the correct way. We know this, and we know that's the way it's going to be, you know, until the government actually puts a complete stop to it.
That'll never happen.
Exactly.
Because the government's the ones that's doing it.
Yeah. And we have, we know we have these, the Indians, not Native, that has come over here, and we know there's a lot of them out there driving trucks. But you know what? Yes,
Iranians.
Yes.
It goes the Iranians.
There's Russians.
Saudis,
and there's Germans.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah. But our, I mean, it's always been my biggest thing is the fact that, you know, we all know the way the rules are wrote up for, you know, to get your CDL, that you need to be able to read and write the English language and speak it. Now,
not anymore.
I know this. That's my biggest thing is I don't feel that that's right, because if you can't read a stop sign that tells you to stop, just because you know an octagon sign means stop, you should still be able to read that. And you shouldn't be able to go into a shipper and say, you know, and you've told me you've seen it where these guys can't translate. You know, and they have a translating app on their phone that tells the shipper what they want or what they need. It's like,
yep.
No. These
just
are,
saw
this
right
is,
back there a little bit ago. I stopped at New Haven, got a cup of coffee. I walked in there. I was standing there at the counter waiting. The guy walked in there, had his phone, couldn't speak English hardly. Showed the phone to the cashier. She had to sit there and read what he wanted, and then she pointed. And whatever, he couldn't do the language barrier.
Right.
Now, when we first started this, it was you had to read, write, and speak the English language fluently in order to get a CDL. Now,
exactly.
A lot of places, letting a lot of states let them come in there with an interpreter and take the test. Okay, so now you've got two people in there. Between the two of you, one of you should be able to pass the test.
Right.
I wasn't ever allowed in there. It's like when you was at school. When I was at school, we wasn't allowed to have calculators either. You did it on paper or you did it in your head. If they caught you with a calculator, hey, you was out of there.
Right. And like we said,
now,
I mean,
it's...
we've said it a million times before. What's really caused, the worst part about a lot of things is the technology. I mean, we know we all have to adhere to it and start growing with that because it is going to always be there and be even more in the future. But when they started with, you know, not having to actual be able to speak English fluently enough, you know, or even, I don't even want to say completely fluent as you and I, but enough to where, you know, you and I can understand what they're actually saying. I mean, how many times when we go out to, you know, over here for Mexican or for Chinese, and it's hard to understand what they're saying because they don't understand,
yeah.
They can't understand exactly what you're saying, but they interpret what it is that you're saying, but their interpretation is completely different than what you actually said.
It's not right. They keep saying that they keep putting more rules on us. Where I'm going with this is, if they want to straighten this industry up, they need to enforce the laws that's already on everything.
Right.
Don't make new laws. Don't make new rules. Enforce the ones that's already on the books. If they did that, they could stop a lot of this. All that nonsense with these, they keep saying, oh, we need truck drivers. We're going to lax the rules and put asses in the seat. We need drivers in the trucks. So we're going to, we got to let them do it because we need drivers. No, you don't need drivers. You need good truck drivers. All right. And by that saying, you know, the drivers that's out here, if you would go back 20 years, 30 years. It wasn't like it is out here now. I was back here in New Haven, sitting at the fuel line, and I pulled through the fuel line, walked in to get a cup of coffee, and I heard something. And I looked out the driver's side window, and there was a container come across the scale. And I guarantee you he had to be running 25 mile an hour when he come across that scale at New Haven, because he was in a big ass hurry to get out of there because he had to go. And he couldn't get there because there was trucks trying to get in. And he damn near got another truck because there was a truck pulling off the fuel island just as he did that, and just damn near hit him. And he come across that scale, and they want me to weigh on a cat scale? No. When you got trucks hitting that scale that fast, and you want to say that scale is accurate, now I'll take my chances on the onboard scales, because them scales ain't no way that they can keep them things accurate, calibrated and accurate, when them guys is using it for a throughway and the truck stops to get out at that kind of speed. Go into a state scale out here on the highway, go across that scale and hit that scale in there, that platform scale in front of that scale house. Hit that scale at 35, 25, 35 mile an hour. See where that gets you.
Over.
You'd be out back at scale house right now, and he'd be still right.
Exactly.
I bet you wouldn't do it again. They wouldn't do it again, I guarantee you. But that's the mentality of these guys anymore. And it goes right back to the older drivers that's out here, like myself and a bunch of other ones, that tries to be on the up and up and do things right. Not stay at work. Nobody is perfect. You're gonna learn something, okay. But when you see a truck doing that, now everybody wants to take a video of it or a picture of it, and they want to put it on Facebook. Oh, okay, if that makes you feel good, do it that way. What you should do, how many times have we done it? Just like a guy urinating in the parking lot down there that time, right in the middle, right out in the middle, right there,
pulled in
and done it. You know? What do we do? You get the trucking company, you get the truck number,
exactly.
And you call the damn company, and you raise hell with the company. I don't say be nice about it. They're not nice about what they're doing out in public. Why should you be nice to their safety?
Right.
Because
if
you call them and say, look, you need to talk to this man. No, you need to fire his ass because he knows better.
You know, and just like that guy that did that day, there was no hiding it. You know,
no.
And
is that the kind of people that you want representing your company?
Yeah, and you were 60 yards or maybe less from the actual truck stop. If you could make it in there without a bottle, my God, don't have to whip the thing out in the middle of the parking lot where everybody and their brother could see.
It makes no sense.
Oh, I know.
But that's what we're dealing with.
It's like, poof.
I don't know. It's
all right. Here's another one I found on Overdrive because, you know, like I said, I look a lot on CDL Life, but I've been looking on Overdrive today. let me get back to the actual Georgia City latest to ban truck parking at homes. Georgetown bans residential truck parking. The city of Macon, Georgia, as of January 1st, will no longer allow truck drivers to park their rigs at home. According to the new city code that took effect at the beginning of the year, any truck or trailer larger than 10,000 pounds is not allowed to be parked in a residential district. The law also applies to RVs, travel trailers, and more. According to the local CBS affiliate WMAZ, Macon, BIB Planning and Zoning have said they will no longer be issuing warnings for violations of the law and will be issuing citations, with fine amounts being determined by a judge. Macon-based truck driver Raven May told WMA, parking availability in Macon is lacking, much like many other parts of the country. There are some truck stops in the area, but they are generally full and don't allow locals to park overnight, he said. So, you know, what are these homeowners or drivers that live in Macon, Georgia supposed to do?
It's bad enough for the trucks.
Exactly.
But when they start telling the homeowner that owns their home and pays taxes on that home, pays city taxes, state taxes and everything, that they got to get rid of their motor home or their travel trailer, their recreational RV, all right, that they use, that they have to get, they can't have it because they live in the city. It'd be a big ask for sale sign up the front yard. And if everybody would go to a meeting, a city meeting, and go down there and raise holy hell on it, see what the judge got to say then. Now, if you're either going to straighten this up or we're all moving the hell out of here.
Yeah, but that's, again, you know, just like us here, technically not supposed to have RVs or boats or, you know, because it's part of the city ordinance and the zoning.
Uh-huh.
But again, it comes down to the cities have to enforce their own rules and regulations.
In order for them to enforce a law there, it's just like our city. Until they clean their own closet out, don't start on mine.
Exactly.
Just like where we're at. They've got enough problems of their own, you know, the things that they need to do or should be doing. Like the streets, you got holes in it big enough to lose a car. They don't
right.
pay the streets. They don't clean the ditches. They don't do their end of the what you're paying taxes for. They're not taking care. Look at that hole right up at the end of our street. They got
right.
a barrel sitting there that's been there all summer long, and they're not going to fix it until the whole road falls in. But they're going to come and tell us what we can and can't do. Yeah, go to hell. I'll see you in court.
Well, yeah, and that's
people
what I'm
need
saying.
To start taking pictures. Drive around your town and find things that the city is a violation on their end, and then tell them to take you to court. And when it goes to court, you get an attorney, and you take it to court, and you say, now, you want me to do this, but why are you violating your own rules? Just like around home there. Why should the cops be allowed to drive the cruisers home and park them at their house, whether it's county cops, the sheriffs, or the local, or what? You don't see the state highway patrol doing that.
No.
No, sir. They said at the police station at the barracks. But yet these local cops, ours, St. Clair, all of them, they drive the cars home like it's their personal vehicles. And it is. They're letting them use them cars as personal vehicles. Them cars don't belong to the townships or the cities. They belong to the residents. Our
right.
taxes paid for them cars. They work. They own a vehicle of their own. You drive your car to work. You get in that car and you go to work. At the end of your shift, you take that cruiser back to the police station, you park it down there, you get your personal car and drive home. That's the way this works. Why should the taxpayers pay for his gas and provide him with transportation? And then they want to say, well, the cops, they don't make that much money to start with. Well, that's their problem. I don't make much either. As a truck driver anymore, they're hammering us every day. But I chose to do this profession. I knew going into this what I was signing up for. So that's the job I signed up for. This is what I'm doing. So if I ain't making any money, that's my own fault. They wanted to wear that badge and wear that gun, and they wanted to be a big-time police officer. Now they got it, and now they want to bitch because they ain't making any money. Well, we're out here, you know, putting our life on the line, and we're only making, you know, $15, $18, $20 an hour. If they're making that, well, that's not my problem. That's what you signed up for. You knew that going in. So,
hey, Robbie, I have to say it's a pretty nice looking truck and trailer you got there. I just want to know, when's your homeowners insurance or homeowners people going to come out and yell at you? I knew that would get him on here.
Shit. They ain't going to do nothing to Robbie because they feel
screw
sorry
that.
For him. Anybody drive a, they ain't going to do nothing to Robbie because they feel sorry for him. Anybody drive a Kenworth, he can't. They know he's already got enough problems.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that there at your house?
No,
Robbie?
I got. I. What's that?
Is that at your house?
Yep.
No.
No, I have.
You parked the truck and trailer at your house.
Shut up for a minute.
Well, I've ran into. Well, I normally get the cops called on me at least once or twice a year. Because I got a butt head of a neighbor down the street that don't like me. But a cop has told me I have 24 hours.
So
you utilize that 24
hours, huh? Because there's people that have travel trailers, fifth wheels, RVs, you name it, that, you know, they allow 24 hours for you to load and unload.
See, I don't get that. You know, if you own your home and you've got a place to park it where it's not hanging over the sidewalk, it's not interfering with anybody else's property, I don't get it.
Well,
that's your home. You
I'm
paid
not,
good money for it.
I can't put the trailer or the truck in my yard. But I can put my truck on the side of my house, yes. But I want to wash it. I ran through a bunch of salt and sand today, so I want to get that off in the morning. So.
All right, so you take 24 hours once a week.
Well, that
every
that
week, bring it over and park it there for 24 hours.
I'm in a bike lane and part of the street. So, yeah, I've had a cop come up to me. He goes, I know you just got here, but we had someone call in. I'm like, yeah, I know. I look my head out. Yeah, he's standing out there. I know exactly who it is. Or else you wouldn't have even showed up. He goes, no. I went by here yesterday about this time, and you weren't even here. I go, yeah, I just got here. I got here, you know, probably 8 o'clock last night, and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. But
did you ever think about trying to catch him violating a rule or something?
Oh, yeah, I've told him. I go, yeah, he has two cars down there that are not registered. Actually,
okay, so you get video of
them.
Go right down there and try to get video of them and use it against
you. No, I don't want to get video. Hold on a minute, Greg. You're jumping the gun. When I was talking to the cop, that was going to give me parking tickets, but he didn't want to stick them on my truck, which I thank him for that. And I told him, I go, yeah, he probably called in on me, didn't he? He goes, yeah, moving his head towards him, yeah, I can't say anything. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I got it. I go, just so you know, there's two vehicles down there that haven't been registered in 4 years. And he's like, oh, really? Well, in about another week and a half, 2 weeks, they were gone. The cars were gone out of his driveway.
See? That's why you said, Tony, you see how this works? When you want to fuck with me, you want to mess with me, now I can mess with you back. If you hadn't said nothing to me and raised hell, I wouldn't have said nothing about them cars, and you could have kept your cars, and my truck would have been fine.
Now, Robbie, is that the, you know, Chandler Laws, or is that your homeowners association there?
No, that's city of Chandler.
Okay.
Because my truck and trailer, he goes, you're not supposed to have that in here, but, you know, everyone that runs this area, we don't give a shit. We know that you're not here very long. I go, no, I normally have it. You know, I'm here. I have my truck at my house maybe 24 hours, and I'm, you know, like tonight, I'm going to do a couple things to it in the morning, and then I'm going to go dump my trailer over right around the corner here, and then I'm going to bring my truck back, and I'm going to put it in the driveway. And I even asked them, I go, does it matter if my bumper hangs over into the sidewalk? He goes, no, as long as your tires are on your driveway. I'm like, fine then. My truck fits in my driveway.
Huh.
I got to butt it up against the garage, right, but I can get it in here.
I couldn't live like that. I'm sorry.
Everyone around here, you know, people across the street from me, you know, and I'm not sure about these new neighbors next door to me. They don't like to say hi or anything. But everyone down the street, they don't, other than that one butthead, everyone else, you know, we wave at each other and say hi. And I got a couple people that talk to me about the truck and whatnot. They don't care for it. One guy said, yeah, sometimes it's kind of a pain in the butt to look around to see if anything's coming, but I know you're not going to be here very long, or it's not going to be parked there for, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, you know what's a bigger pain in the butt? When you go to the grocery store and there ain't no groceries in there, then you know why the trucks are running around.
Yeah.
So when you go to the grocery store and there ain't nothing on the shelf, or there's something you wanted and it ain't there, now you understand why, because somebody else was probably
screwing with the truck and he's lazy to give shit to you. A couple of them, they're like, they thank me, and I'm like, I go, I haul a different kind of freight that versus the grocery stores, but you know, I got friends that you know, deliver to grocery stores all the time, and even the guy that lived next to me. They ended up moving about a year and a half ago. He delivered for a grocery store chain, well, Kroger, Fry's. They call it Fry's here. It's part of Kroger. That's what he did. He never brought his truck home, but he was just local. He worked from 6 to 2 or something like that. But
what the people fail to realize, just like an idiot down the street there, it was okay for trucks to come in and out of that neighborhood when they was building their houses. How do they think all that materials got there for them to build that house they're living in?
Yeah.
Trucks was on that street then.
Exactly.
Trucks was in and out of there then. You know, ain't nothing they touch. You know, that's what kills me. People think, well, you know, I don't need trucks. Yeah, you need trucks more than you think.
Yeah.
A lot of
people that don't understand the truck thing.
And I said there's a lot of them that don't really understand it.
It's like that other piece of property over there that borders ours that we bought, Robbie.
Yeah.
City tried to get us to rezone that as put that in residential with our other property, combine the two deeds together and make it all residential. That's commercial over there. That's one of the last pieces right there in our area that's zoned commercial.
No, I would keep it commercial because if you keep it as commercial, yeah, you can park your truck on there then. You can have your RV on there. You can have all your boats and tractor and whatever you want over there. Like if the city, you know, like Tiff was saying that we're not supposed to have the RV and, you know, depending on how the city or county, or both, say it on how many vehicles you could have.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're
only allowed, okay, if you have a garage, one is supposed to go in the garage, or if you have a two-car garage like I do, which we can't get two cars in there. Yeah, we can get two cars in there. And then all my stuff that I have in my garage, like my toolboxes, you know, all my other tools that I have in my garage, they would have to sit out in the driveway. I get two cars in there. I just can't have nothing in it.
No, you can have two cars sitting in your driveway because you got a job and your wife's got a job and you both need a transportation to work because you don't work together.
Yep. You know, like
that's
my
how
house,
you beat that.
Two cars.
Yep.
Majority of houses are two cars.
Right.
Until you come to our house and there's four.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was getting at is, you know, all the cars that you do have. You know, Greg, you got your Cavalier, your pickup, and then you got the Avalon and then the Tundra. Well, there's four vehicles that I don't know how your city or county is saying, well, you can only have so many vehicles, but you do have all the.
Do, I think,
can
only, but,
yeah, I'm thinking.
But that's what now that commercial property, you could just move them up on top of the hill and done.
That yeah, our property over there, yes, it is deemed commercial, but it's commercial for the way that it's wrote up for that. It has to provide a service to the community.
My truck provides a service for the community.
Exactly. And that's how we would
exactly.
be able to get away putting a building up over there because of the fact, you know.
Well, even your gooseneck trailer, that's a service
yeah.
to the community. You want your junk hauled out? Well, it's going to cost you.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
No, I can't use that. The only way I could
what?
Use that. The only way I could,
oh.
I can't. Because the only way, because I don't have commercial license on it.
It don't matter.
That truck and trailer don't have commercial license on it. Yes, it's, I can't work that for hire. I can do it for myself, but I can't do it. I can't do it for anybody else for money, for profit. I can haul shit for anybody for free. But if they hand me $5 for, well, you know what I'm saying, so to speak. If they give
no,
me $5,
it's a donation.
Say, well, here,
I do
you know,
it for
nope.
free. And if they give me money, it's a donation, according to what the city says. No, they
yep.
donate. It's like you going to a restaurant and tipping. You don't have to tip that waitress or waiter. You don't have to. It's being a butthead, but. You don't have to, but it's just that it
well,
kind of
tell you a little secret
heart,
about that.
That you give them money.
Watch your checks anymore because they automatically, anymore, a lot of people, it was not too long ago, they were saying that they're automatically adding to your bill. When you go to a restaurant eat, they automatically add gratuities into your check before you get it.
My my buddy Gino, the owns a race car, he was out of town somewhere. For work or something, and he went down and had dinner, and he put the tip on his credit card. Well, they added a one in front of it. I think it was like a $5 tip or something like that. And he was looking at the same. He goes, "I don't never remember doing that." So he pulled out the receipt for it, and he's like, "I only tipped him $5. Why is it $15 tip?" So he called them, and they added more money to it. And then now that's why, like, me and my wife, we like doing it is tipping in cash.
Yep.
And then you write on the receipt cash. So now they
right.
can't, there's no, you know, you're just paying, putting, you know, whatever the dollar amount is for the meal. That's all your charge. Oh, that's all it's going, should be going on that credit card.
Yep.
Uh-oh, we're having a meltdown.
What got him
yeah,
started?
Yeah, sounds
what,
like he's having
again?
A good old time.
What was that, Robbie?
It sounds like you're having a good old time having a party in there.
I'm telling you what, he had a meltdown earlier today.
No,
Rick
it sounds like he's having a great time. He's telling you a story.
Well, he was sleeping. Now he's awake because he's in a swing, and he had one heck of a meltdown up there at Waffle House today where Greg and I actually had to leave.
Oh.
It was bad.
Oh, yeah, it got so bad. We had to get our stuff, put it in a to-go container, pay the bill, and take him out the truck and be gone. God, he was screaming,
oh,
and he would not shut up.
Hmm. What else do you have on the agenda tonight?
Well, you missed it. We was talking about the brokers. I don't think you heard about that.
No, I didn't. No, I heard about that. No, fucking screw them brokers.
Yep, that's what
actually,
I said,
just
too.
Did a broker load. And, you know, majority of the brokers, you know, you got your ones like C.H. Robinson, like you've already called out. We'll just pick on them tonight. They're a bunch of buttheads. There's brokers out there that are... They're either always counting on you or where you at, you know, I'm 10 feet further than you just called me on. Or there's other brokers that, all right, just like the broker that I just did, this Paul guy. I actually like this guy. I called him, or I looked at the load. Some of these brokers have that they can see that you look at the post, and then I don't call them. Well, he called me, and then I was able to get some more money out of him, which was fine. And he called to double check, and then he called me back, and which he was just trying to get the load booked. You know, if I could make the driver happy, I could get it off my screen, get it done. So, and then I told him I should be down there yesterday and to load. If not, if I can't make it down there by 3, I'll load it first thing the next morning. I told him I was loaded at 3:30, and he's like, awesome, thanks. Let me know when you unload. He never called me to ask me what my ETA or anything was.
That's the way it should be.
And then I sent him, because I have his cell phone. I think it's a cell phone number, or it might be a number that goes to his computer. I text him when I unloaded, and I sent him an email that I was unloaded and proof of delivery, you know, my bill signed.
It's like all of them, they get you loaded. You take a load for them, they want you to download micropoints or something so they can track you. You download the tracker, and then they still call you 2 or 3 times or, you know, every 3 or 4 hours wanting to know what your ETA is. You dumbass, you got a tracker on my damn phone you insisted that you put on there. If you don't know how to use the damn thing, don't bother me. Hey, Ma, I quit there for a while. I just quit downloading it. And then if you don't do it, they want to find you. They want to charge you money, but they don't want to pay no more.
They
do everything in their power to get money.
Where they were always calling, and I had a tracker on my phone. I go, fine then. If you're going to keep calling me, fine then. I'll just let it go to voicemail, and then I'm going to turn the tracker off. Well, you can't do that. I'm like, then stop calling me. Use the tracker.
One more phone call, and that tracker gets shut off.
I go, and then I told him, I go, one more phone call I get from you on this load. My ETA has not changed in the last 10 phone calls. I'm going to get the carrier that I'm through, I'll get them involved, and then we'll probably won't do no more work for you guys. Oh, you can't do that. I go, watch me. I hung up the phone and I called the office. Well, we don't do freight for them anymore. TQL.
Yep. Oh, TQL is bad, man. Like I said, C.H. Robinson, TQL, Landstar, list goes on and on.
Yeah, you know, there's some out there that, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing new. Because it's just like an MC number, an MC number where, you know, or a DOT number where it's 7, 8 digits long. Well, broker numbers are the same way. The lower the broker number, or the lower the MC number, they've been around a while. And that's one thing I have that I like about, you know, the carrier I'm with is they got to have credit with them or else I can't hold their stuff. That way I know I get paid. I make sure I get paid. And everything's all good and dandy.
Yeah, tell that shit. Until they get a grip on these damn brokers, though, until they start getting some oversight and start getting in running, you know, get some transparency on their end and start getting in there and start going in and checking them out. Go in there and dig through their paperwork like they do us. They audit us. Trucking companies, they go in there and audit them. Check their logs, check their bills, check this, check that. How many hours of services you got, blah, 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 blah. When the hell are they going to start that with the brokers? Go in there and start digging through their paperwork. Find out what they're charging for these loads. You know, see what the customer, you know, what the shippers is paying them to move that load. And then see what they're paying the driver, you know, the company. And when it trickles down, what it's coming down to the driver. See how much money they're skimming off that load. And say, now, wait a minute, this ain't right. You know, there's got to be a limit on it somewhere.
You know, okay, on the broker's end, yeah, you got to make some money, but you don't need to make – you make the same amount that the driver makes.
They don't have to pay fuel. They don't have to pay maintenance, Robbie. They don't have to go out here and put time in. They don't have to worry about this.
You know,
all they got
I
is electric,
okay,
you know, their internet service and shit like that. There ain't no reason for them to get $2,000 off of a freaking load.
Right.
You know, and they give you a measly ass thousand.
Them getting maybe 2 to 5% of whatever the load is.
I'd say 15.
I can understand that, but not
25 to 50%.
No.
15 to 20%. I can get it. I get it. Because
yeah,
look 50, at it this way.
75.
Let them take 25% because your company gets 25% off of it, and we don't say nothing. Most companies out here, you get 75% at the gross. They take 25% for clerical, you know, for to do the bill of the billing and all whatever they do, you know, whatever. All right, so they take 25%. Okay, brokers should do the same thing. All right, you get 15. I think 15 should be the limit with them because they don't have none of this over 15%, and that's it. You get 15% off that load. That's it. The rest of it goes to the company and the driver. Because once you haul that load, they take 50% of it. Then it goes to your company. Now your company gives you 75% or whatever you get, 78% of what's left.
Yeah.
So now you're into it for 50%. I mean, they're taking 20. The company's taking 25% or so off of it after the broker takes 25%. So where does that leave you? That money just keeps dwindling down to where there ain't nothing there. Just like them loads me and Donnie hauled up there, that trade show shit up there to Detroit. The
loads
paid $1,900. The girl told us that loaded us. She controlled the shipping on that end of it. She said, these loads paid $1,900. I said, yeah. I said, the damn broker's taking half of it. She come back 20 minutes later. She said, you know, you was right. She said, almost half. She didn't tell us what they took, but she said they took almost half. Yeah. And Donnie's wife worked, done billing or whatever for that company we hauled it for. And she was able to get in the computer, and she said, yeah, they took just about almost half. They took like, what was it, $900 of it and gave us $1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiss my ass. And if they're doing it, they're all doing it.
That's why everybody
wants a broker's license. That's why everybody's trying to be a freight broker anymore because they know how much money there is to be made at it because they're all crooked. They know somebody that done it, and they're telling them, well, go do this, man. You make all kinds of money as being a freight broker in the trucking industry. Oh, you're making all kinds of money, and that's why it is the way it is. And my dispatcher don't send my damn load information here in a little bit. I'm going to call her. Tell her she needs to put the whip vodka down and get my damn information put to me. She was supposed to send it to me at 3:30. I'll send you a picture of it and text everything to you, your contacts, everything. I'm still waiting. I'll wait till about 3 o'clock in the morning, call her and say, Marie, you know, I'm planning on loading this at 7 o'clock. I need my pickup information.
Well, shit.
I'll call her about 6 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, you awake? You will be in a minute. I need my pickup information. I was supposed to have it at 3:30 yesterday afternoon.
You think that's funny?
I'm in the morning anyhow, Tara. I got two of them 30s.
You'll give her a heart attack.
Instead of just picking one up, Marie, I just went ahead and put two of them on, one on the front and one on the back. I have 30 on the front and 30 on the back. I'm going over to get that 3,000, put in the middle of it now, and I'll still be just a hair over what I had yesterday. I double my money, double my fun. Be 63,000 coming back. Hell, I had 62 yesterday.
Yeah.
Y'all might as well get it up, make it an even 100,000. Come on with it. Maybe my fuel mileage would be better.
I pulled to Greg.
Why?
I grossed out at 84 and I didn't get a permit.
You know, he said something about that.
84,000. Hell, I think 84,000 is a legal load anymore. That's what I got on right now, about 83. Or that's what I'm grossing, about 83 right now.
Grossing.
Yeah, I'm grossing 83 right now. Well, maybe not quite. Take 80, take 48.5 and 33.8.
What did you say it was? Sorry, I had to get into a calculator.
48,500 is what I got on the back, and my lightweight is 33.8. About 82.
Okay, you said your lightweight's 33.8?
Yes.
Okay, and how much did you have on? 45 what?
48.5.
Oh, 48. 82.3.
Told you. Between 82 and 83,000. What is it, Robbie? It's like a chicken wing.
There ain't nothing but chicken wings.
Ride down the road like you own the damn place. I got shit scared out of me back here at Wadsworth, back here at Scale out there on 76. Them scales have been closed for an hour, and I come down through there. I said, well, here goes nothing. They've been closed all this time. They got to be closed. Man, I hit the bottom of that hill by 70. I started up through there, and I looked up there, and that damn light said open. I said, oh, shit. Man, I was coming up through there. I was pulling about 60. I was putting down about 65. I looked up, and I seen the close sign come out. I split a gear and put my foot in this damn thing, and I buried it, man. Up through there I went. I made my just past the scale, and just as I was going by the scale, there was a state cop in there. He was the only one in there. I went by the scale, and I looked just as I went over the top past the scale. I looked behind me, and the truck right behind me was going into the scale. So he, as soon as I went by, he flipped that sign open again. I'm thinking, wow, that's too close.
Yeah, that's too close to comfort.
It wouldn't have mattered anyhow because I was bound to determine that sign was open. It was he was opening and closing as quick as where I was at, right there where I was at when he opened and closed it that quick. I was going by it anyhow. I was going in there. If that sign had been open, I was going right on by it. I figured, you know, he's going to chase me down. And then it's going to be an argument. I'm going to tell him, hey, it was closed when I come by. No, it was open. No, it was closed. You're playing that game of opening and closing. That sign said closed when I went by. How do I know what you guys are doing? Either open it or close it. See you in court. That'd be another $500 to get out of it.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's raining again. Son of a gun. It's all I've been in for the last 2 days. Rain.
It was fine today. Most of the roads were dry, all except for up in, when I was up in Flagstaff, the roads were damp, and my truck's starting to turn a shade of white.
Poor baby.
It just snowed up there.
Should have some of our misfortune.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got 68 miles, and I'm going to get rid of this, get the other piece loaded, and I'm going up to Porter and go up to Burnt Harbor and go to bed.
Yeah.
Shit, I'll be up there, assed up bed, 11 o'clock. I don't know, maybe before that. I might get some quicker time in the night. I ain't had it on for about a week or two.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I want to do that load.
What?
Going out to Vegas.
No, you need Land to get a load.
Star, Landstar load. No?
You need to get your load. Come on out around home or up north for a while.
Dude. No, they have a pickup date from Wednesday to Friday, and then it needs to be dropped off Monday.
Come up around home here in a couple more weeks, you get all kind of fun and adventure.
Because if I load it like tomorrow, it's going to get delivered that same day. If not the next morning.
Right.
But they don't have a rate on it, too, so. I don't know. Don't know what it is, but they give the dimensions, but it's, what's 543
inches? 543
inches? That's 45 feet.
You can't get that on that step deck.
No, not on my truck.
Harley, quit with all the squeaking.
Cut it in half. Well, just my beams under stretching.
No, I can only go 37 feet because my back deck's 8 foot long.
Depends on how long or how high it is. Set it up on the back deck.
It's only 10 foot high. 10'3" wide, 10 foot high. I don't know. All they give is dimensions on it. Again,
how heavy is
the
it?
Broker's at 43,000.
No.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I don't know. Back to the show. So what else is interesting, Tiff, on there?
Oh, I don't know. Let me see.
We did the Reach Across America stuff. We couldn't get into that. We tried that. Now, if you're thinking we need to try that again, you better not get rid of the van, the dry van.
We ain't keeping something just for on a fluke.
That's what I'm thinking. They can put them. Your dad gives it up. We get that trailer off of him. Put a Conestoga on that thing. They can stack them reefs in that damn Conestoga the same as they can in a dry van.
Exactly.
The reefs don't care. They're pine. What do they care? They don't care. Stack them in there and send it.
Holy crap, did you draw all that? Oh, crazy kid. Shoo.
I can imagine what that trailer's going to cost us if we buy it.
I know, right?
I'll tell you what's going to cost me. I'm waiting for him because I know he paid, 40 or 45 for it. That's, 2015?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's 7 years old. I'm gonna tell him, hell, that thing ain't worth $40,000. Dumb. I'll give you 25 for it, just the way it sits. And you can have the tires.
Huh?
He can leave the wheels on it, but he can have them tires. I'll give them tires to Robbie.
No, you ain't getting no tires to me. What did I tell you?
Robbie.
When you told me that this morning, the first thing I would do is get those recaps off and put a set of versions on.
Oh, I done told him that. I said, I get that trailer. I said, first thing's going to happen. I said, all them recaps, you take all them off, we'll take them out. Dump. We'll get rid of them, take them out to Minerva, throw them in the scrap.
What, pumpkin butt?
Well, I've been running them. I said, yeah, you've been lucky. He's been lucky. He already took a mud flap bracket off and beat a light outside of it.
Well, screw the end. I, no.
On the lead axle. Yep. I want no recap.
Try doing that back axle. It screws up a bunch of shit.
Told him I'm recapped. It's coming off of there, and that thing's going up. Get a Conestoga put on it before I even think about running it.
Yeah.
So I'll have the cost of the trailer plus another $16,000 to get a Conestoga put on it.
All righty, I'm going to get off here. Penny should be about home, and we're going out to dinner, so.
All right.
I take it you must be getting thirsty, Robbie, huh?
Nope, I ain't drinking tonight. My
truck's
sitting outside.
This is true.
When my truck's here, I don't drink.
Great. Might have to move it.
Yep. So, all right, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, talk to you later, Robbie.
Later.
Be careful.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Nobody else called in? Nobody's listening?
No, we had another caller earlier when we were all on there and we were talking, but he ended up hanging up or losing service or something because he didn't hang up because usually it says that it dropped, if you hung up. But it didn't do that with his, so I'm thinking whoever it was must have lost service.
Whatever.
It wasn't Robbie, and it wasn't Jeff, and whatever other one it was. Holly, it was none of them.
I don't know.
I'm just thinking, wait a minute, I want to, because I remember the last four of the phone number. I wanted to see. Huh. You know who it was?
Oh.
It was Ed.
Ed?
Yeah. I didn't think of Ed because Ed never calls into my show.
Well, I wonder why he hung up.
I don't know. I don't know.
What was we talking about? What was we talking about when he called in? Brokers?
He was on there for a while. We were talking about brokers and a little bit of everything.
Huh. Yeah, don't matter.
Nope. Oh, Pappy, hi, huh? Somebody's had the craps and, we've had blowouts. Yeah, I know.
He may have just called to see if he was having a show, too.
Yeah, but he can look the same way I do.
Well, yeah.
Oh, Papa, you tried mayonnaise today and carrots, huh?
Yeah, I seen him eating carrots. He didn't even mind them too bad. That banana, he didn't know what to think about that.
Oh, you seen the videos? Yeah, he didn't know what to do with them.
He was eating it there at the end, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was starting to.
Just a different taste. You keep changing the taste on him, and it messes him up because he ain't used to it.
Yeah, it took him a little bit to, with both of them, but... Huh.
See if it fills him up now, see if it stays with him for a little bit.
He didn't eat very much of it. Huh.
You got to stay with him.
I know. We'll try again here after a bit and see if he wants a little more. But we had a blowout, and it was all the way up his britches and up his back. We had to do a quick little scrub up because somebody had to do it just before Gigi would come on the radio, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You think that's funny? You want to read this for me? Okay. Here. Oh, you're so funny, kid. What can I do with you? Okay. Yeah, it is still... It's just you and me. I get you busy looking at the screen, huh? Here, let's sit you down there. Since you want to sit here. Okay. California is banning 76,000 trucks effective January 1st, banning an estimated 76,000 trucks with pre-2010 emission spec engines.
See, there you go. They're bragging, you know, they're complaining about the truck shortage, driver shortage and truck shortage, and California banned 76,000 trucks from coming in there because they're older trucks.
Yep.
That don't make no sense.
Oh, don't start.
So these companies now will get rid of them trucks, and they'll go buy brand new trucks just so they can keep California happy.
Yeah.
I'd let them starve out there.
It says part of California's Air Resource Board's enforcement mechanisms, mechanisms, this goes around is to prevent registration or renewal of any such vehicle. The default CARB and the California Department of Motor Vehicles will use in that regard as an assumption that truck model years 2008 through 2010 are powered by a 2007 through 2009 engine. Unless owners take step with the agencies to prove otherwise, registration renewals will be blocked. Drivers drivers who do own a 2010 model year truck with a 2010 model year engine can report that their engine is compliant through the CARB's Exclude Diesel Vehicle Reporting Database.
They're trying to catch the ones that's deleted them and everything.
Mm-hmm. An analyst with the Overdrive sister company, Big Rig Business Intelligence, found 75,951 unique VINs for 2007 through 2009 model year trucks with some level of activity in California over the last 5 years, including registrations and inspections. All the more reason to stay out of California.
But I'm thinking, I didn't lose nothing out there.
Yep. And
I ain't going out there looking for nothing either.
Yep, here's a truck show we'll have to go to, right, Bob? And we'll have to take you, huh? Yep. Okay, the Ohio
Wrong Vintage answer.
Listen, the Ohio Vintage Truck Show set for June. The 11th annual Ohio Vintage Truck Reunion is set for the weekend after Father's Day this year, June 24th and 25th. Put on by various Ohio chapters of the American Truck Historical Society at the Ashland County Fairgrounds. The 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. two-day event will feature hundreds of vintage trucks, a truck model contest, a truck memorabilia display, a parts swap meet, on-site camping, and a country convoy, and plenty of food as well as a variety of other activities. The 2022 show attracted more than 250 trucks. Organizers say a van full of food and more than $5,200 was collected for the Ashland Food Bank and Shriners Transportation Fund at last year's show. The Ashland County Fairgrounds is located about 53 miles southwest of Akron. The annual truck show will feature a number of events, including a trucking memorabilia display, a truck model contest, and a truck lights display, and more. How Pappy is this?
Cleaned up.
Yep.
Because I think it's old enough now, 25 years, it's old enough to be historical, even though we're still running it. We ain't got a historical plate because it's still working. But it's old enough. I think it's 25 years it's historical.
Tell Pappy you can go, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, get those fingers out of there.
I would like to get this painted. We get the money, get this thing painted, get Todd to paint it.
Yeah.
If we could get it painted, that paint. So I got the thing, and I've been thinking, you know, would it be nice to do this? Do like I said, on the side of the hood, do the vinyl on it, you know, the lettering and everything. And do like I said, Family Addiction on the side of the hood, and then do like a truck driver memorial on it. Everybody that we know or have known or they've known that's drove trucks, pass on or whatever, but, you know, in memory of the drivers passed and put their names all down the, on the truck, down the size of the truck on the back.
Yeah.
You know, your grandfather, you know, Rich, Paul, you know, how Dad drove for, I don't know, seven, eight years. I don't know that he said hell with it, but all of them, anybody you know of that drove truck, put their names down the side of it.
Yeah.
I don't want it wrapped like that stupid thing that...
The ghost truck?
What's your name? Yeah, I don't want it like that, but yeah, just a neat memorial of the drivers, you know, and just put that down on there and, you know, their... And then their name and the date, you know, their birth dates and stuff.
Right.
Of course, you know, like Paul. For Paul, we'd have to get a hold of John or something to see if it was okay to do it, it wouldn't be a problem.
No, I'd get a hold of...
Wouldn't be a problem, but you still have to ask, you know, before you put somebody's name on the side of it as a memorial like that. But John wouldn't have a problem. And Rich, we don't have to ask nobody.
Well... Taffy wouldn't care because she'd think that'd be the coolest thing ever.
No, especially when it's on her dad's truck.
Exactly.
You know, and just like, you know, your grandfather, your dad keeps screwing around with me up there on the hill. His might be on there. I tried to kill him last weekend.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, just put the names on both sides, do both sides the same. So either way you look at the truck, you see them.
What do you think?
But I need to get it painted first. Get a nice, you know, get a decent paint job on it that's going to stay. And then get it all lettered, get all stainless and everything all fixed up on it, redo everything on it, and just a little bit at a time. I mean, because you'd have to do it while you was working. Other than paint, when he gets ready to paint it, it'd probably be 2 weeks at least. Because it'd take you... Yeah, if I get Donnie and your dad to help me, it'd probably take us 2 days to strip it all down. Air cleaners have got to come off, all the stainless and the chrome, or the stainless on it's got to come off, the hood ornament, the visor, the light by light, you know, around the stainless around the bottom of the bunker, lights and everything, which them son of a bitch would need to go anyhow.
Yeah.
But... Strip all that off of here and need to get sandblaster this summer, sandblast the frame, and at least the outside of it, the bad places, and they said paint the frame on it. But I thought that would be a neat, that'd be a neat idea.
Yeah.
And then it'd be ready for the show. Get that painted, get that something like that done, then it'd be nice to, you know, just put it in the working class truck. So I'm not going to clean grease out from underneath of it. Just get it painted, polish the tanks, the wheels and stuff, the boxes, get that all, you know, cleaned up and everything to where to look at it looks good. You want to crawl up underneath of it with gloves? Well, then sorry about your luck.
Right.
But, it's a working truck. It, you know, it ain't likely taking show it, put it in the show, and then take it home, put it in a garage somewhere, in a heated garage, look at it, cover it up.
Yeah. I got a phone call today.
From who?
From Cheryl.
Again?
Yeah. She needs to know what it would cost, what... We would need to get to Georgia and back because they want a budget from her of what, you know. And she told him, she's like, the only way that they would come from Redneck and I to participate and help take care of and do what they do is if they are paid, you know, that their expenses to get here and get back are taken care of. and whatever they would need to do, what they would need to down here. She told me to get it to her within a week, so that's where
I don't see us taking that trailer, that enclosed trailer and that pickup all the way, Georgia.
No.
And I don't see me putting a hitch on this thing and pulling that trailer all the way down there with this waste of this truck just to pull that down there and back. But on the other note, this thing needs to go because we need a place to sleep.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about the best we could do is take just what we have to have and load it up in here. Clean the trailer out good, load it up in here like we did the old time, old days, and take off.
Well,
I mean, we won't have to take the golf cart. We wouldn't, you know, the, whatever. We just what we need for cooking and everything, and just take what we have to have and go.
Yeah, but how are we going to get roasters and that in there?
What do you mean?
For cooking. Because I'm not sure. What did you do? I got to sit with her and talk to her about, you know, exactly what she wants from us in order to do this. You know.
Well, if they want us cooking down there, we'd have to take one of the tents.
Nope.
Any good, though, have them rent a tent.
Yes.
And then all we'd have to do is take the tables, some tables,
mm-hmm.
and the roasters, and the generators.
Mm-hmm.
Take the two generators, the tables, the roasters, the coolers, just stuff that we need. We not the our sales end of it as far as shirts and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, we could take a tub full of them, but, you know,
we don't have very many
of them
to begin with.
Huh?
We don't have very many of them anyways left.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'd have to order some if you took too many, but as far as the other trinkets and stuff, I mean, may be able to order some pins. We still got a bunch of bracelets, don't we? Wristbands? Are they gone?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we could get, you know, order some pins, cheap pins. Everybody could get a pin and whatever, check on something cheap like that so they at least you give them something.
Yeah.
Keep their, you know, trick their interest.
Yeah, she told me to let her know what it would cost to get us there. And what we would need, and, you know, she said, because we could basically do our thing in the parking lot because we know how to set things for a party and entertaining.
Well, and then we had to get a hold of Taylor, see if he's willing to do it. See if he could get somebody, you know, get some people together, because he's got his own band, he told me now. He's got a whole group now.
Oh, yeah. Cheryl and I were already talking about all that.
Huh?
Hold on.
Do what?
Hold on. Hold on a minute. Okay. No, Cheryl and I already talked about Taylor and stuff like that, about, you know, some of the ones that contact for entertainment.
Right.
So, but those are just Taylor, Long Haul Paul. I told her also Dave Gore. You know, of course, Jake Ray.
Yeah, so you got to watch, because I don't know. Taylor will do it for nothing, pretty much. I don't know about, you know, Long Haul Paul and Dave Gore. I don't know.
She's going to reach out to him and find out what, you know, that type of stuff, what they would charge
right.
to do it. So.
Right. But tell her when she talks to him, tell him that Redneck and I just put the show on, or, you know, the entertainment end of it, and the food and everything, and see what they would charge us to do it. Because
right.
Dave Gore and Long Haul Paul and them knows us better than they do anybody else.
Right, and that's what I told Cheryl. I said, I mean, Cheryl knows them. She don't know Dave Gore, though. She's never really had any interaction with him.
Right.
but with Long Haul Paul, she has. So I told her, I said, let me know. I says, I can reach out to Dave and I can reach out, you know, talk to Taylor if you need me to. And I said, see what we can come up with. And she's like, well, I'll let you know. She says, you know, she's, because they asked her about what kind of budget is she going to need to do this. Because she wanted to know what size tent we would need. And I said, well, I said, the last tent we had was a 20 by 30. And she's like, well, we were pretty cramped in there. I was like, exactly.
Yeah, you almost need a 40 by 40.
That's exactly what I told her. I said, if we were going to rent one the last time down at Matt's when, you know, it got canceled, I says, it was a 40 by 40 that we were renting from Louisville. I said, because it's just easier. I said, unless we have enough people down there with us to help do stuff, I says, it's too much for just a couple people to set up a tent. I says, it's just easier to rent one and have them take care of it all.
Yeah, because I'm getting too old for that shit anymore.
And she said, you're right. She's like, I'm not above that. But one of their big corporate sponsors is Coca-Cola. So she said, maybe with them being a corporate sponsor, maybe they can get a couple Coke machines set up down there in the parking lot periodically in places. Right there, because it's right there at the Expo Center. So maybe they can get a couple of them set up places in order to, or just a bunch of, you know, tubs or something with Coke in it. And that way, that takes care of all the drinks for people down there.
Right.
Because just like I told her, I says, you know, I says, it would be a lot.
You can't just set them out. You just can't set it out there. They'll freeze to the taking. Because people will just load the fuck up, steal the take. They'll take it all, throw it in their trucks and shit.
I know that. Her and I discussed that. And I told her, I says, just like with the food aspect of it, I says, in order for us, I says, because I know what it takes to feed the people down at Louisville, and I says, this is something, a whole new aspect for us. I said, so to do it down there, I says, I would really need to, you know, find out approximately how many people they had last year. But here it turns out, I think this is their first one that they're doing.
All right.
So, because I don't think they've done one before, I'll find out for sure. So I'm thinking this is the first truck show that they've done down there, that they're doing down there in Atlanta. Or maybe this is their second one, but I told her, I says, you know, we would be, you know, I says, I told her today, I says, I briefly, because she called like 10 minutes before I was going on the air. And
I figured.
Well, you got to remember, she forgot all about it. She's like, crap, is it Wednesday already? And I was like, yeah. She's like, I was thinking it was Tuesday. But I told her, I said, let me look into it and see what, you know, what we were going to pay for a tent up here. And, you know, but I told her I had spoke to you a little bit about it. And, you know, it all wavered on the fact of, you know, if they would take care of all expenses going to and from.
Right.
I said, because if we would come down, I said, you know, it would be feasible for us to, you know, of course, take our truck so that way we have a place to to sleep. I said, now, I said, the only, because it's like the 18th, 19th, and 20th of August. So it's 3 days.
Right.
So I told her, I says, our only thing would be then, you know, we just have to be able to go and get showers. And she's like, well, that wouldn't be a problem either. She's like, because we will have, you know, a car there for transportation. Because she's talking about maybe getting her dad's camper net and taking down there and keeping down there.
Right.
So,
I mean, just the truck, for the truck and trailer to go down there, it's going to cost us bare minimum of $2,000 just for fuel down and back.
Yeah.
At these fuel prices, I mean, it's just going to be damn near a tank, you know, 700 mile down there, 700 to that, 1,400 miles. I mean, now, not quite. It'd take one fill up to go down and, you know, a little bit to come back. But, yeah, I'd say, yeah, if the price of the fuel stays up or even a little lower than they are, it's going to be right at 15 to, yeah, at least $15 to $2,000 just for the truck and trailer to come down there with all the shit in it.
Right.
And if we don't sell the dry van, we could take it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We could load everything in the back of it, put, you know, stuff on, get some pallets, throw the pallet jack up in there, push everything to the nose and strap it in. We get ready, take a pallet jack up there, drag it all to the back, set it down. They can unload it right out of the back of the trailer and set it up. If it moves around or something on the way home, well, you're going to worry about it. It ain't going nowhere. But yeah, I'd say it's going to cost at least $2,000 just to truck a trailer, just for us to get down there with everything.
Right. And that's what, you know, I told her I'd talk to you and we'd figure it out, you know, because she has to have some sort of budget. I don't know when she's got to have it by, but she asked me just, you know, let her know, you know, by the weekend or by, you know, within a week. I said, I'll be able to give you something in a couple of days.
And, you know, if we want, you know, just like trucker tools and Hattie and all them, hey, let them reach out to them. Tell them we're going down there for a truck show. The first one that they're having down there, we're going to go down there and hit it. We're able to do our same thing that we did at Louisville that we wasn't allowed to do it. Now that we're not allowed to do it at Louisville, we're allowed to do it down there. We're going to go down there and try it out.
Yeah.
So we need, you know, well, you got trucker tools, banners and everything, right?
Yep, got trucker tools, got Hatties, got DPS, or,
Well, yeah, Hatties, DPS, and trucker tools. What other one we got?
And we got LTR. Yeah.
So we got the banners. But we're going to have to find somebody. We're going to have to find somebody with a step deck.
Yep.
That's why it would be nice to have our dry van down there.
Yep.
If we don't sell it. Because that dry van we could use for the backdrop for the stage.
Yeah.
That black trailer, you know, and then the step deck tight, you know, as tight to it as we can get it, you know, without them beating the shit out of it, which they won't up there singing and stuff. They ain't going to be hitting it. But
no.
Up against, you know, there, and that way, even that trailer there, we could take the signs, you know, some of the signs, like, Taylor, if he's doing it, Taylor Barker Music, Long Haul Paul, if they've got banners or anything, we can take, you know, Gorilla Tape and tape right to the side of the trailer. It won't hurt it.
Yeah.
Something strong enough to hold it, just put little pieces of tape on the signs and tape them right to the side of the trailer, up behind them. And then put the sponsors down, you know, if Taylor wants to use Hennep, that's fine. Hennep, LTR,
you
know, all them around the step deck.
Yeah, our sign, our big red mechanized one, it's an outdoor one, and that thing's huge.
All right, I understand that.
So we could have it at the top, but, you know, it's just the fact that we got to figure out what it's going to cost, because she needs a, you know, a budget. And I told her, I said, you got to factor in what it's going to cost for all the food to prepare and make for down there. I says, and I do
right.
A lot of the stuff at home and have it already prepared. I says, but nobody's going to want chili in August in Alabama or in Georgia.
Right.
I says, and that's always been one of my staples is chili. I said, now I can do the same concept
right.
And do, we could do one day of nothing of taco salad. I said, I would have to find a wholesale place that I can buy a shit ton of lettuce.
Yeah, but do you really want to deal with lettuce down there in that fucking heat?
Exactly, and that's what I told her. I said, it would be best.
You know what lettuce is going to do as soon as it gets warm?
I know.
It wilts. You're going to have a lot of wasted lettuce.
chopped.
You'd be better off down there to just have, a big-ass grill of some sort and just do burgers and hot dogs or sausages or something like that, you know.
Well, that's what I told her. I said, I said, what you can do is even start getting a hold of, you know, some of the barbecue places down there and see if they would be willing to come and set up, you know, a different barbecue place or a couple different places. You know, talk to them and see what they would charge to come and set up and say, hey, or get a hold of the food or the vendor trucks in Atlanta.
Yeah, so you get a bunch of shit shows like they had down in Louisville? They come in there and they run out or the food's nasty?
Because they did one, and that was the only one they were allowed to have. But if you get a bunch of, you know, get a bunch of different ones set up down there in the parking lot, you know, that can come and set up and do stuff like that, or, you know, like you said, rent a, because you can rent, we know you can rent grills and all that type of stuff down there at some of these places.
Why don't they just get a hold of some of these nonprofits like we are, like, just like Tucker Charities and all them that wanted to cook all the time and wanted to do all this. Travis.
Yeah.
See, if they want to do that, tell them come down and set up and you do your own thing. Let four or five of them, let they share the food.
Easy, Judd. You okay?
Then we don't have to do it.
Right, and that's what, you know, her and I are going to talk a little bit more about it and see what we can figure out.
You and I are going to have to talk about it later, too, because I can't half hear what you're saying because maybe it, you know, carrying on and you got me on speaker and I can't hardly hear you.
Hey, honey, we're still on the radio station, so, yeah, it's kind of on.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I said, so we're going to talk about it later on.
Yeah. What I'll do is we'll get a hold of Robbie, too.
Right.
And then I'll just get, you know, get the initial
Robbie
group.
Robbie and Holly and Jeff.
Uh-huh. And Donnie. Get the initial ones, just those ones.
Right.
And then, you know, do a, you know, maybe this weekend I'll send a thing out to everybody and see if they have time this weekend for you and once you're home.
Right.
So we can get together and do a quick little
you know, we can tell Ed we're doing it. If he wants to come, fine. If he don't come, that's fine too. It don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
we were all
we're not paying these way.
Yeah.
The group's not paying these way. Not for him. Sure. Just come up by himself.
Yeah.
Seeing as that's all he's got to do is bring himself and he's a bag of clothes.
Right. All right, hon, I'm gonna close this down. I'm gonna
close
the bottle for him, and I'll call you here after.
Go ahead. Well, I'll do that. I'm only got by 30 miles, and I'll be over here and get this unloaded, reloaded. I'll call you when I get up the truck stop.
All right. Sounds perfect, baby.
All right.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. As always, we have run over our time frame, but hey, that's us here at Redneck and I's and Women of Redneck and I's. We just chat and talk and talk about everything and anything. And as you have heard, we are going to be at a truck show in Atlanta, Georgia, tentatively, on August 18th, 19th, and 20th. More details to come in the future. So this is Tiffany with Redneck and I's Radio on the Unplugged Radio Network. Women of Redneck and I's saying, have a great night, stay safe, and we'll see you back here same time, same place, next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneckinize.